Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Now, you've probably heard about these protests and demonstrations that have been taking place across various different parts of the Canary Islands in recent weeks. There were more protests in Mallorca, and Ibiza over the past 2 days or so. And basically the protesters, they're out, they're holding up large placards that read SOS residents, enough mass tourism. Decky Dillon is on the line. Decky is from Decky Dillon's Gigi's in, is it Matagorda in Lanzarote? What is the situation there, Decky, at the moment?
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Well, it's basically the situation, a lot of the situation is that for an island of 145,000 people, there's nowhere for people to live long term. The government have issued all these VV licenses, which is for holiday lets on the privately owned apartments, and rents that would have been, say, about 500 or 600 euros a month for long term rentals before COVID have now gone up by over double. You could pay 1,000 or 1,200 a month for a one bed apartment, and a lot of people that live here and work here can't afford that. And the government then is issuing all these licenses for these big, massive hotels to be built. And there's no social housing then for people to actually live on. So a lot of people, I think the press, the British press mainly, have blown it up that tourists aren't welcome. But like Lanzarote, I can't talk for other islands, but Lanzarote is solely dependent on tourism.
What I was just going to say. Like it's got to be the main industry for a lot of those for a lot of the Canary Islands, Decky.
Yeah, I mean, Tenerife has a population I think of 1 million people. We have a population of 144,000 residents living here, so we shouldn't really have the situation that we have, but we do. People can rent to tourists for, you know, up to 500-600 a week. And you can look, people buy properties to make money, which is fine. But a lot of the properties were oversold for tourism, and the residents that live here are in a situation now where they actually, like, got people that work for me, once that she's one girl had a problem in her apartment, and she was afraid to contact her landlord about the problem. She paid for it to be fixed herself because she was afraid and be told to move out. Because she'll get over double, if not 2.5 times the rent to a tourist than she will to a resident.
So you know? it's the housing situation, effectively. Locals in Lanzarote and Tenerife and many of the other islands, they're looking for the authorities now to bring in some sort of, it's really rent controls, isn't it, Decky? That's what they're looking for. But like I mentioned, there were pretty large-scale protests, weren't there?
There was. And look, as I said, a lot of people are angry, and I think it's been displayed in the wrong way. I mean, where I am in Matagorda, which is at the edge of the airport, the opposite end of Port del Carmen, we've got a predominantly Irish and English bracket here, with English, Welsh, Scottish, Irish, and most of them 9 months of the year are retirees that come out for...
So they're effectively residents then, Decky, really?
Well, they aren't. I mean, a lot of them stay in small bungalow complexes which were purposely built for tourists. And they stay in them. They come for 5 or 6 weeks. A lot of them come for a break in the winter because obviously...
Yeah, but they're resident often 9 months of the year, though.
No, very few of them would come for that long. You would have people that would come for a month at a time.
Okay, they come and break it maybe.
For a month. Yeah, and they go back. Like, I mean, May is always quieter for us because it's predominantly communion and confirmation season at home. So the granny and granddads all stay at home for that, you know. So, but like this square that I'm in, Central Commercial Matagorda, has 4 or 5 top-class Irish pubs and 10 or 12 really good restaurants that all work very hard all year round and manage to survive COVID. I mean, we didn't get the same breaks that were given at home. I mean, any grants we got, we had to pay back and were taxed on. And it was a bit of a nightmare out here. But we managed, we all managed, everyone that was here pre-COVID.
Are you living full-time there, Decky?
I'm here 12 years.
Oh, are you? Right. Year. Okay. And you're a full-time resident and operate your business there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, and I mean, everyone in this square is just welcomes tourists with open arms. Yeah.
Stay with me for a moment, Jackie, if you don't mind. I think we've another caller in Spain with us on the line. Amy O'Dowd is with us. Amy is from Finnegan's Wake Irish Bar in Lanzarote. I'm sure it's probably well known to a lot of our listeners. What is the impact, Amy, of these protests now at the moment?
The impact at the minute, I haven't really seen any change. They're looking to bring in new regulations in regards to holiday lessons. I read an article there that they're saying that you can't own a holiday lease unless you have a residential. They're trying, but as of yet, nothing's changed.
What's the impact on business?
There hasn't really been any impact on business. Like May, at the minute, as what Jackie said there, this time of year is always much quieter for us, but like, as you said, the message that's been given that the Canary Islands don't want tourism, that's not the message that we're trying to give at all. It's more that we want the government to kind of look after the people who are living here and put a stop to people buying up holiday lets, things like that, so people have places to live. In terms of business, we're still flat out here. The people are still coming.
Yeah, so the message and the placards and the signs, I was looking at some of them online from the most recent protest, I think in Mallorca and Ibiza. The signs that read SOS residents, enough mass tourism, that hasn't so far affected Irish holidaymakers from travelling to Lanzarote.
No, absolutely not. Like, it's more us that are living here. As Jackie says, like I had a similar problem in my apartment that I'm living in, and I wouldn't message my landlord over problems. I'd rather fix them myself because I'm too scared they're going to be like, "Oh, sure, no, you move out, we'll find someone else and charge you more money," because there is literally nowhere to live for any of us at the minute.
How long are you there, Amy?
I'm here 8 years now.
And do you sort of, is that it's a full time move? Is it you're kind of planning to live there permanently?
Yeah, I've had my two daughters. I had them here. They're in school. I'm settled here now.
Yeah, so you want to stay, but actually being able to afford rent now is becoming such a problem because of the number of holiday or tourist lets that are there.
It's a serious problem. Like, for bar owners, the system, the cost that they have for employees is through the roof. Wages aren't where they should be, but rent and cost of living has shot through the roof. Like, you're looking at now for one bedroom apartment €1,000, but your wages might be only 1,200. Like, that's what we're kind of looking at. So,
okay.
But there's no regulations for that for the government whatsoever. So really what the message is more, yeah, you keep bringing in the tourists, but you've not got the right conditions for the people who are living here and the staff that are supposed to serve all these tourists. People who are here are overworked, underpaid. But yes, the tourism is still coming in at the level it is.
I understand that the call from a lot of the protesters is that they want authorities to stop people who haven't lived there for more than, is it 5 years, from being in a position to buy properties. They want more controls, really, on holiday accommodation.
Yeah, really, yeah, because you've got people that are coming over, buying a house, they'll put it on Airbnb, and then they won't be here. They're not paying tax here, they're not doing anything. There's a lot of illegal holiday lets, like, you've got people buying up apartments that they might come out 3-4 times a year, rented out to family members or things like that. Other than that, it's sitting there empty, and you're getting 3 times the amount of money for a holiday let than you would for a long-term let. Do you know what I mean? And these are properties that are probably sitting here vacant a lot of the time, that people just use to come in and out, not paying tax, coming within their 90 days. And that's really it. And us all that live here, that pay our tax, that work hard to serve the people coming on holidays, have no option. People are living on sofas, paying rent with nothing left at the end of the month. It's just gotten out of hand, really.
Owen Curry is the editor of the Air and Travel magazine. Owen, I know that the message there from Jackie and Amy is that, you know, they don't want to deter Irish tourists from travelling to Lanzarote or any of the other Canary Islands. But is it actually putting some tourists off?
Yeah, it's quite interesting and a little bit worrying. You know, the pushback against over-tourism pre-pandemic would traditionally have been limited to places like Venice and Dubrovnik and Barcelona. What we've seen in recent weeks has been the scale of protest, which took me by surprise, a lot larger than I expected, and probably the people running tourism by surprise. Traditionally, pushback against tourism has been about nuisance behaviour, you know, drinking in the streets, noise, all of that sort of thing. But occasionally the pressure on services, health services, waste management, water, how, you know, they're the things that tourism brings. And we've sort of seen a residue of that over the years. What seems to be arising very much in places where the, and Jackie and Amy have both alluded to, to it, the level of the dependence of the economy in these places, in the Balearics and in the Canaries, is very heavy on tourism.
Sure, it must be nearly 80 or 90%, Owen.
Yeah, very much. I mean, it's employment. It's also the money that's generated. I mean, there's a lot of things said that tourists don't pay tax. They actually spend at such a level that the tax, the VAT and the other indirect taxes they leave alleviate the tax burden on the locals. But that's a separate argument. We're back into things like lack of housing, rent prices for residents, over. And the big change in, not so much in the last few years, but probably for over the last 20 years or so, has been the nature of tourism contracting, accommodation contracting. Mm. Two things have happened. Tourists have come out and bought property there. And the second thing is that the days when Gillian Bowler or Joe Walsh had to take out a contract at a hotel are long over. Everybody who has an apartment can actually let to tourists now because of the arrival of Airbnb,
Booking.com, all of these other sites.
So all of that, it seems a confluence of different things. When local problems arise, and there are massive local problems, there are depopulation problems, there are rent prices, and there's there was enough housing built to meet either the growing population of these places or the transient population who come in to work in tourism. All of those local problems seem to be spilling over into an anger which is a bit worrying, is going to be pushed in the face of tourists. People don't like going for a week's holidays, even if there's one night that somebody says something angry to them. And these people, we are seeing, as you say, protests, bills, posters being put up telling tourists they're not welcome. Not the sort of message you want an economy that's so heavily dependent on tourism. I'm not sure there's a quick solution to it.
Particularly, Owen, as well, for so many Irish people. I mean, I'm sure we all know somebody who, you know, has probably been to the Canaries or some one of the Spanish islands or mainland Spain over the past number of weeks. Hang on, Owen, there for 1 second. I think we've got
the figures have just come back from the number of visits to Spain the first 3 months of this year. We're on course for 3 million Irish visits to Spain and the islands, considering our population. Wow. Spain is almost a domestic holiday for Irish people.
There you go. Dean is with us, Owen, as well, for a moment. Dean, I believe you're living in North Spain, is that right?
Yeah, I live in a resort called Lloret del Mar. It's in Girona. It would be 20 minutes from Girona Airport.
Okay. But
also, I lived first, when I left Ireland in 2008, I moved to Gran Canaria myself.
Right.
And I lived in Gran Canaria up until the pandemic. Now, I second everything that those people have said. When I moved there, I got an apartment for €500. Beautiful apartment, 2-bedroom, on top of the mountain in Puerto Rico, overlooking the golf course of the lovely big hotel below the mountain. But over time, the rent went from 500 to 750 to 900. And then even in the pandemic, they wanted to put it up to 1,000. But in saying that, the people that were next to me, they were paying 1,800. So they were getting to the point where people were being able to charge what you want. And like that girl said, when you work in the Canaries, I used to manage the Shamrock Bar in the commercial centre in Puerto Rico, the main commercial centre.
Right.
And when you work in the Canary Islands, your salary is 1,200. And if you're good, you might make 40, 50 euros extra a night in tips. But you can't depend on that. So the rents have just gone out of control. And especially for the Canaries, the problem for the Canaries is we get a lot of Scandinavians who come down for 3 or 4 months at a time. So people are unwilling now to do long-term rentals. They'll only want to make a contract for 7 months because they know when the Scandies come down for them 3 or 4 months in the winter that they can charge the star, the moon and the sky.
So it's not that you don't want tourists. It's to do with the amount of time people are able to rent properties, really.
Yeah, and it's just because of the Scandies and that, the actual genuine Canarians now, they can't afford to live on their own island. And it's resources. Like the Canary Islands is always in a state of drought. And yet they're granting all these licenses for hotels with pool, with multiple pools. But yet they're being put on water restrictions in the north of the island where the actual, all the locals live. So they have no problem with tourism. They completely depend on tourism. Apart from tourism, their only other industry is bananas.
Yeah, well, it's a temporary limit, though, on tourist arrivals. Isn't that the issue when it comes to the short-term properties? Amber's with us. Amber, I believe you're in Port O'Carmon. What's the situation there?
Hi, yeah. So I actually live in Carmon myself. I used to own a bar in Carmon as well. So I've been here for 22 years and always worked in hospitality. And I think there was a man on before saying, people coming on holidays, this is going to be some sort of hostility and it's going to be in your face, like, send tourists away. And I don't ever think that is the vibe. And any protest that has been happening has been in the capital city of the island. It's not necessarily in your face protesting, people telling you to go home. Because,
but there were some signs quite similar to that. You know, like I know a lot of these protests initially kicked off back in April, but they seem to be a fairly regular occurrence now over the different weekends.
I think the last one I've seen was at the end of March. There's not been any others since. It's definitely a talking point. But I think the message of like tourists go home, I don't feel that that is the message that is being put out there. It's more a sense of things need to be done fairer. People have nowhere to live. Mm. The wage is still extremely minimum. We're not having water because of the high consumption. It's affecting local people that live here. And that's why that there's been a stand and people are saying this isn't fair anymore, that the tourists have a priority over the locals. Because how will the tourist industry carry on to thrive as it does here? But there's no one to work.
Yeah, I suppose the concern, though, as well, I totally appreciate, Decky, the concerns that you have for staff and that Amy mentioned as well, people living there and locals. But, like, if the tourists, I mean, when you listen to the figures that Owen mentioned, the 3 million, you know, the numbers from Ireland travelling to Spain to holiday each year, if those people pull back and stop going, there's going to be a huge impact on the tourist industry.
Absolutely, there would be. There would be. But if there's nowhere to live, how are these bars going to stay open? How are these hotels going to stay open without staff? You can't run a business without staff.
Decky, are you concerned about this?
100%. I mean, as Amber knows, I know Amber, she has a bar next door to me. And it's like, I'm lucky. I have the same crew of girls working for me for the last 4 or 5 years. And you know, they're of an age where they're probably more financially stable than some others, but they still work. They work as much as they can. They work harder because the tips are a big part of their income as well. And a lot of bars, you know, 2 or 3 restaurants in our square here closes 1 or 2 days a week because they have to give, under law, you have to give 2 days a week off, and the 2 days have to be together.
Right.
So, yeah, so, I mean, some places just have to close. So the owners have to suffer of 2 days of no turnover, but still have the same wage bill.
And because they have to be in law the 2 same days.
Yeah, I think nearly every restaurant in the square here closes for at least a day.
Oh, and the other point that a lot of listeners are getting in touch, you know, I suppose they're listening and, you know, in one ear to the situation and conditions for a lot of people living across the Spanish islands. And at the same time, they've their holiday booked to Tenerife and Lanzarote and Ibiza and Menorca this summer over the next 2 and 3 months. Like, if people are concerned about this or this escalates or continues even, can people pull out on?
If you pull out, you're concerned about any aspect of your holiday in advance, and it could be heat, protests, whatever, unless you don't get, you have no comeback. You've just decided unilaterally. If the tour operator decides to cancel or the airline decides to reduce services, that's when you have a comeback. You don't even have a comeback under travel insurance. That tends to be really health related, with doctor's letters, all of that sort of stuff. There isn't an automatic guarantee that you get your money back just because you change your mind. Obviously, there are different terms for different airlines, and depending on when you've booked, you will be able to get your money back, apart from a deposit from some of the tour operators. But we aren't in a situation where people can decide, oh, there are protests there, I don't want to go and get the money back.
Do you expect this will escalate?
I'm surprised that it has gone on for as long as it does. And the nature of social media now, and the ability to arouse a little bit of outrage and to get people to gather in for protests, I would imagine we will see more of this. I do not expect it to impact tourism at all. I expect most people to travel to the islands home again without even having noticed it, apart from maybe posters or signs that go up every now and again. I think that it's largely a local view, for which is really animating people, price of rents, for cost of living, all of those sort of concerns, and the pressures that tourists bring on services sometimes comes into it as well. But I think it's a local issue between the protesters and the local authorities, of which tourists will be, to be quite honest, oblivious.
Yeah,
they will come and go as if nothing had happened.
You know, from listening to Amber and Amy and Dean there, what would absolutely strike you is that, like, the housing situation and rental stories that we hear in this programme, they are not isolated to the Emerald Isle, quite clearly. Owen Corrie there, editor of the Air and Travel magazine. Thanks to Decky, Dean, Amy and Amber. Obviously, we have a lot of listeners in Spain and various different parts of the Canary Islands. Thank you for joining us on the show. Lunchtime Live at newstalk.com. As always, that's the email address if you want to get in contact.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on Newstalk.